is real and death is final and death is a reality. The reality of death, that's the title of this message. O Pharaoh was wrestling with God directly, by the way. Pharaoh was wrestling with Jehovah through Moses and Aaron, but he was wrestling with God. And God was speaking to him through an intermediary. And Pharaoh would not listen. Pharaoh was lying to God. He was defying God. God had showed Pharaoh that Jehovah was the king of Egypt, that he was the true God of Egypt, and he was the true God of Israel, and he was the king of Israel. And Pharaoh just hardened his heart 10 times against God, Jehovah, and then Jehovah said, "Zap! Now I'm going to show you something." When a man has all that he can acquire in this world, and fame and fortune and maybe love, and it comes down to where you're dying and your heart is stopping and you're having congestive heart failure, whatever you might want to be, arrhythmia or atrial fibrillation, and you're getting ready to die. What is all that? What is all those things? What is it? What is it? It's nothing. It means nothing. You know, I've come to my time I've come to a time in my life last September a year ago when I had propane poisoning. And I woke up and then I finally realized what had happened to me, that I had almost been killed with propane, that I had oxygen deprivation. I lost my hearing, a lot of my eyesight, nervous system, tremors were terrible. And I wasn't thinking about myself, I was thinking about my wife. Who will take care of Marilyn? I just can't leave this world before she does. That's what I think. I just can't do it. I have to be here for her. She never had anybody with me, have you? Have you? No. I think about that. Now, the reality of death is about to hit Pharaoh and all of Egypt. All of Egypt. When it comes to the last little point, what would a man give for one more day of life? What would you give for one more year of life? If you knew that you're going to die tomorrow, what would you give for one more year of life? Or would you want it? What would you give? There's no prize. Now let's look here and see what Pharaoh says. Here, this is a very short chapter, but it is extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. And said Jehovah, El Moshe, unto Moses, Od nega ihad abi al Pharaoh. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah, to Moses, still yet a plague, a strike, one more I shall keep on bringing upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, Acherakan, afterward, he shall, now look at this word here, it's Yashalek, and he shall send you away, he will shoot you away, he will drive you out, and that's in PLCM, and it's in perfect tense, he shall keep on driving you out from here. When to send him completely, expel or tossed, he shall be driving you from here. He shall be driving you out, running you off. You know, Pharaoh, when Abraham went to Pharaoh, and Abraham brought a plague with him because he sold his wife out to Pharaoh, and he got a wife also, Hagar. he sold Sarah to Pharaoh, and God plagued Israel and or Egypt, and Pharaoh drove Abraham out, said, take all you have, take everything with you. I don't want anything back that you touch. Go. And this is basically what's going to happen again. Except that Pharaoh listened to God. This Pharaoh won't listen to God. Speak now in the ears of all the people, and let them be barring for themselves, each man from his friend or neighbor, a woman from her friend, and all the silver and all the gold. Now, he's talking about the Egyptians now. The Egyptians have become friends with the Jews, by the way, with the Israelites. They have become friends with them because they have been exposed and introduced to Jehovah, the God, the Creator of the heavens and the world and the earth. And he gave and kept on giving Jehovah grace. Etchan is the word there. Favor or grace or mercy from the people in the eyes of Egypt, and also the man Moses. Gadol is the word there in Hebrew, Gadol. Can you say Gadol? Gadol means great, magnificent. Exceedingly, Moed. In the land of Egypt, and in the eyes of the servants of Pharaoh, Moses was great. Remember what God told Moses. Moses, you go down in Egypt and you're going to represent me as God, and Aaron will be your prophet. And now as they see Moses, Moshe here, they see him as God. They see him as a supernatural being. Even all of Israel looked upon Moses as a supernatural being, as blessed by God, and God touched him. In the eyes of the people, all the families, and said Moses thus, he has said, Jehovah, in the division of the night. Now this is Jehovah. Okay, now there's no death angel, by the way. There's no death angel. Who is going to pass over Egypt but Jehovah in his all of his magnificence and all of his glory and all of his pureness and all of his righteousness and power and glory? And that glory and power to an uncovered person is death. And I will go out in the middle of Egypt. And he shall have died, all of the firstborn in the land of Egypt. All the firstborn should die. Now, if you go to the law later on, when we start, God institutes the law. He said every person, every firstborn is holy to me. This represents Israel in Egypt. They are my firstborn, okay? And God's firstborn. Every firstborn is holy to me. Every donkey, every calf, every goat, every lamb that is born, the firstborn, the one that opens the womb of an animal or human, is sacred to God. And he's going to teach them this a little bit in Egypt. The firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh's, the one sitting upon the throne, the one sitting in his place of honor is what it says here, Allah Kasol, in the place of honor, unto the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstone, and every firstborn of the behemoth, Bikor, that means to break forth the womb, And behemoth means the large animals, the camels, the horses, the oxen, the elephants, the hippopotamuses, all of the large animals. All the wild animals shall die. All the wild animals. How about the fish in the Nile River? What's left of them? Plump, plump. The firstborn, plump, plump. All the camels, the firstborn of the camels, the firstborn of the donkeys, the firstborn of the elephants, all of these, and they had all of this in the land. And all of a sudden, they die. Death is a reality. Have you ever held the hands of someone that you love so much and watched them leave this world? Have you done that? Have you watched them close their eyes in death? This is going to become a reality throughout all of Egypt. All of Egypt. Every firstborn in the land shall die. And that is a trumpet call from God. You are mine. And I am your God. You are mine. Now, I already find out that the Egyptians are looking upon Moses as a great person, as a supernatural, a superstar in all the land. And her cry shall become great in all the land of Egypt, which such a like not she has become, and such a like not shall ever be again. Shall ever be again. Tasef. Shall ever be added again. That word there, Tasef, that's the word Joseph came from, by the way. Joseph means to increase. To become. To overcome. Third person feminine, singular, Hifael, Hophel, that is. She shall keep on becoming or adding ever again. Nothing like this will ever happen again in the land, nor has it ever happened in the past. Can you imagine looking out the Nile River and whatever fish pops up dead, crocodiles, the firstborn of all the lambs and sheep, goats, cattle, donkeys, horses, all of them will die. We know that Pharaoh had a stable of horses, and Egypt was they had horse soldiers. They had a cavalry, and sometimes people love their horses a lot. There in the Bedouin tents, the Bedouins take their horses and they put them in tents at nighttime. And they sleep with their masters. And they love them, the Arabian horses. Here in Fish Lake Valley, in 1959 and 60, I went to work for E.L. Cord, Eric Loben Cord, the founder and the builder of the Cord automobile, the Duesenbergs, and the Auburn, in Auburn, Indiana. Where the factory was, but he was here. He lived here. And Mr. Cord had a lot of money. He had a radio station in Reno called KCL. And over here we have the CL Circle L Ranch, was his ranch. Well, Mr. Cord went over there into Arabia. And bought, you know, the Arabian horses that you buy here and everything that are trained in here are not like the ones in Arabia. They're not going to let their best horses go. They're not going to let them go. Well, he went over there and visited the Bedouins in the tents where they had their horses living with him, and he bought two horses. He bought a stallion, and he bought a mare, and he brought them back. And I got to take care of those horses for him. But those Bedouins won't hardly sell a horse like that. There's no telling how much money. I don't remember now, but it was hundreds of thousands of dollars back in the 1950s and 60s. that he gave for those horses. He had it flown back to the United States. And they were here in Fish Lake Valley. Many years later, Virginia Court, I don't know how she got my number or whatever, but I worked for her one time, and she called me up on the phone here. And right up here is a little booklet that she sent to me several times. I'm looking at it right now about the Court Auburn and Duesenberg Collectors Club. And she asked me, "Jimmy, are there any of those Arabians left on our old ranch there? Are they all right?" She'd asked me that. She'd call me about once a month and asked me if I'd gone and looked. Some of them were turned loose and they were wild up here among the Mustangs. There was one black stallion, and you saw one of the descendants of that black stallion, Marilyn. All of these horses in Pharaoh's palace, the firstborn would die. From his children? How about if his wife was a firstborn? All of the animals, all of the families, everyone has a firstborn. How many percent of Egypt died in this last plague of the death of the firstborn? And the death angel did not pass over Egypt. There is no death angel. Jehovah passed over Egypt himself. And against all the sons of Israel, not one of them shall be cut down. Not a dog shall bark against him. All of the firstborn, you know, the Egyptians loved cats. What if you had a cat that was a firstborn and it died? What if you had a dog that's firstborn and died? They had lions, tamed lions, leopards, cheetahs. And all of these they carried as pets. They kept them as pets. And all of the firstborn of all the animals, this is going to devastate. The population of Egypt shall drop dramatically. Probably at least 10 to 20%, maybe 30%. It just depends on how many children there were in the family. The firstborn shall all die. And a dog shall not lift his voice. And the livestock, in order that you may all keep on knowing that God keeps on separating, Jehovah keeps on separating between Egypt and between Israel. The death of a child of God is a graduation. The death of a child of God is a promotion. The death of a lost person is eternal death. Eternal punishment. Eternal hell. Verse number 8. Why you do? And they shall come down, all of your slaves, these ones unto me. And they shall be bow themselves down to me, saying, "Go out to you." And all the people who are at your feet, or literally in your feet, and after thus, I shall keep on going out from Pharaoh in a heat of anger. And he said and kept on saying, Jehovah unto Moses. Not he will keep on listening unto you, Pharaoh, for the purpose that I may multiply the miracles in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron, they had done all the miracles all of these before the face of Pharaoh. And he made strong Jehovah the heart of Pharaoh, and not he would send the sons of Israel from his land. Let's go back and read that now. From the New American Standard. Now the Lord said to Moses, one more plague I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. After that he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he'll surely drive you out from here completely. Speak now in the hearing of all the people, not Pharaoh, but in all the people. All of the Jews, all of the Israelites, that is, and the Egyptians that will listen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what it says in the book of Romans. And basically, that's what happened here in Egypt. That each man may ask from his neighbor and each woman from her neighbor for articles of silver and articles of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. For them all, the man Moses was greatly esteemed in the land of Egypt, both in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the family. And Moses says, thus saith the Lord, about midnight, I am going out in the midst of Egypt. Jehovah is going out in the midst of Egypt, not the death angel. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits upon the throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the millstone, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There shall be a great cry in all the land of Egypt. The word cattle there, by the way, just means any large beast. And there shall become a cry in all the land of Egypt, such as have not been before, and such as shall never be again. But against the sons of Israel, a dog shall not bark, whether against man or beast, that you may understand and know thoroughly how the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these servants will come down to me and bow themselves before me. He says, go out, you and all the people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my wonders will be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh. Yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land. Hard hearts, the result of a hardened heart, the result of pride and anger, the result of a what we might call the spoiled childhood. Pharaoh had everything handed to him on a silver or gold platter all of his life. And now God is saying, what will you give for your life? What will you give now for the life of your servants? Many of the cattle had died. The crops had all been destroyed. The Nile River, which was their god, had been destroyed. It sent plagues of lice and gnats and flies and frogs among them, and he still wouldn't listen. He kept hardening his heart. Now God hardens his heart. Now it's beyond the point of no return. He can't come to God. God is not going to touch his heart any longer. I remember when a girl named Jennifer called me from Texas one time, and she said, I think God has damned me. I have heard the gospel a million times in my life and I haven't responded, and I feel like I'm going to hell and I don't know why. And I told her, did you ever ask God to forgive your sins and save your soul and repent of those sins? And she said, no. I just went forward when I was a little girl and vacation Bible school and was baptized, but I didn't know anything about repentance. I didn't know anything about belief in Jesus. I said, well, ask him to save you, and she did. And she was happy. She was no longer condemned. She made it. God was dealing with her heart right then. Pharaoh's heart will not be dealt with God except to make it hard. He wanted to fight against God, so God makes him fight to the death. To the death. If you're out there somewhere in the world today and you hear this message, if you don't know the Lord, if you haven't asked the Lord to forgive you and save your soul, repenting your sins, you can. Is God convicting of you right now? Call upon Him to save you and forgive you. And serve Him with your life. There's no better way to go. Our Father, we send this message out. We ask You to use it wherever it goes in the world. We honor and glorify You. And remember the power and the miracles and the love and Your commitment to Your people, Your unconditional covenants. Please, Father, forgive me where I failed You to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.